The person who desires the truth, the seeker of truth, the person who wants to practice the truth and be upon the truth, who has fikr of the akhirah, worry for the hereafter, concern for the hereafter, the person who wants the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we call that person the talib-i haqq, the person, the student of haqq, the desirer of haqq. And the action of this person, or you could say the sign of this person who seeks truth, the student of truth, desire of truth, is continuously that person is doing his or her islah, that I have no special qualities within me, or I have no good qualities. What sins am I carrying out, implementing? Always that person is seeking to find his or her sins, not looking at the good qualities, the good signs or people's praise. Rather, that person is seeking sins, doesn't hide the deficiencies or hide behind the veil of his or her deficiencies. Rather, the sign of the talib-i haqq is that person has one worry, one concern, that which defects are within me, which sins am I carrying out, which sins am I implementing, how am I a bad person, why am I a bad person. And then that person tries to leave those bad qualities and do his or her islah, that I have these defects, I need to eliminate these defects. So what we need to hear, understand, is that talib-i haqq is a sensitive person, regular and sensitive, inwardly, analysis inwardly. And he isn't something that happens automatically, it becomes like this. If he touches something, for example, if he's doing an action, it may not even be a sin, but he will consider, oh, I don't want to give pain or difficulty to somebody, I don't want to carry out something wrong. And this is the sign of the talib-i haqq. May Allah also make us like this. Ameen. I remember an event. There was a pious predecessor of ours, Sheikh, and a big Sheikh. And this was the time of the king. There was a king, I can't remember the name of the king, Darushukha, something like that. And he was a very, you could say, powerful king of the Indian subcontinent. At that time, people were pious and on the deen. It was a good generation, a good generation. Sort of a golden era, we could say. So when he became ill, the king, he called his wazir, his minister, and this is an honest, true account, true event, historical. And the king said to his minister, there's a wali of Allah, a sheikh, who sits here. They knew who were the pious people. You realize when there's a pious person, everyone realizes and hears about it. So he said, I'm severely ill, and I think that this is a cure from hadith, this is a sunnah action which I want to implement to cure my illness. And this is the sunnah hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, that the water that a mu'min has already drank, and if there's some left over and you give it to somebody else, then that is shifa, the water. So leftover water of a mu'min, if he's given to drink to the other person who's ill with this niyyah for shifa, then Allah gives the shifa. So he was a believer, and he knew that the wali of Allah was a mu'min, and he wanted dalil. He said, go to this wali, to this sheikh, and bring his leftover water that he's drunk, that's leftover, and give to me so I can get cured. What a great cure, what a king. And he didn't call a hakim, he didn't call a doctor, he didn't call a surgeon. He sought out the wali of Allah, the pious person. Do you think he was foolish? No, he wasn't foolish. He had aql, he had intellect and understanding and awareness. So people went and they reached to him, to the wali, and he said, why have you come? All these people, when the ministers of the king, you know, his workers, co-workers, and the wali wala was a little bit surprised, said, well, how comes you come here? And they said, Hazrat, the king has sent us here to you. He said, why has he sent you here to me? What is his need? What is his desire? And they said, the king has instructed us to take your leftover water to him. Please drink some water from this and leave some over so we can take this to him. Because they knew. And the wali wala, the sheikh, he understood this masala, and he couldn't reject the order of the king. It was impossible that he was going to refute the king if there was something good he was asking for. So he bowed, he said, is it? He said, the king has ordered this? And they said, yes, the king has ordered this, that give water to you to drink, and the leftover water we need to take back to him. So he drank the water, and he left a little bit water at the end and gave it back to them. So when he gave the water to the ministers of the king, or the workers who had been sent, and they then left, and then this pious sheikh became a bit distressed and upset. And his murideen, his students, were a bit surprised that he is given the water. Now they've gone. He's crying. Rather, he stayed in prostration and dua and crying out to Allah all night long. And then in the morning, he said that, go to the king and ask, how is the king? So one of his students went to the king's court, and the water had its effect, alhamdulillah. And the king had attained shifa, cure, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the messenger, the murid, came back to the wali. He said, we went and saw, and the king has taken the water, consumed it, and he is cured. And then the sheikh prayed 2 rakah nafal salah and praised Allah, glorified Allah. And they said, Hazrat Sheikh, why is it you cry during the night? Now you're happy, you've gone into prostration. And I'm telling you, this is the talib haqq, the seeker of truth, the student of truth. We consider ourselves as seekers of truth, but look at his style, his mannerism. He said, don't ask me, Isbati, don't ask me. They said, no, Hazrat, please tell us, we are your students. We need to understand what overcame you, what occurred in this last day. And the Sheikh said that the hadith is haqq, and his request, the king's request was haqq, and the Prophet ﷺ did say this, but I became a bit upset that my iman is now being tested. The king has asked for water. I've given the water to him. If he didn't attain a cure, then today I would be wretched in the world, and people would say that you don't have iman. Because he had yaqeen on the hadith that the mu'min's leftover water is cure, and he had a doubt that he was a mu'min, a believer, or a good person, and he knew that the leftover water of the mu'min is a cure. He said, if the king doesn't get the cure, then I've got a test I'm falling into now, and we'll all realize that I'm not a person with iman. I'm not a believer. So how will I then stay alive when I know that I'm too weak? How could I stay alive after? How could I live my life? My life would have become a waste, and I would have not attained any enjoyment in my ibadah, in my worship. Okay, it was regards to the akhirah. We're trying, we're worshipping, we're doing dua. But today my test had started, and if this water had not cured the king, then I would have understood that I don't have iman. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that the person who gives his leftover item to the other person, there will be the cure in that. And that water, and this is a big point, and this is the talib of haqq, my friends, and may Allah ta'ala make us like this. Now in this journey to seek Allah, to seek truth, we're not carrying out actions to show off ibadat, worship, dhikr, salah, prayer, etc. That who are we trying to show? Who are we trying to prove to? If somebody praises you for 2 days, oh, he's pious, he's good, he's young, look at his face, he's libas, and look at his practice, he's pious. Are we going to get anything from people praising us? Really, we want Allah Ta'ala to be pleased with us. The answer comes from Allah, that I'm happy with you, I'm pleased with you, my radha is with you, subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala says that those people who are on the haqq, they look within themselves. They look at their defects, their bad qualities. All night long they cry that, Allah, I've got defects. That's why the common man goes to the wali of Allah, to a sheikh, and says, do dua for me. These are my sins. These are my downfalls. Please do dua for me. Advise me, direct me, coach me, etc. So today, nowadays, let's dwell now for a few moments on a certain action. Because we are all talib of ilm. We are all talib of haqq, we are all seekers of knowledge and ilm, and we need to save ourselves from a specific sin. There's a unique form of sin today, and it's very common, a common sin. Rather, we don't call it a sin. We don't even call it a bad action. We say, oh, it's social. Let's have a social get-together and have a bit of a chit-chat. And this is a pillar of our social life. You can say 3-4 men sitting, 2 men sitting, 4 women sitting, 3 sisters sitting, 2 sisters home, outside, masjid, inside the masjid, outside the masjid. Marketplace, everywhere this habit takes place, and this is such a common sin today, and a big sin, that alongside this sin, within a second, fasad spreads. Fasad, yes, disquiet and quarrels and disputes, and everything's fine, and after a few moments, the friendship from decades ceases, stops, relationships end, fights and quarrels in the home, and opposition, father and son start to fight, quarrel, good friends, they start to argue with each other, friction comes in between all of these relationships. What is that sin? It is the action of doing bahas, to dispute and quarrel and debate with each other. And in Islamic word we use nowadays is debate. There's a debate going on. A debate. Rather, it's a quarrel and argument. Eh? A clash of ideas. We don't know what we're talking about. We have no knowledge. But within seconds, before that, we're in a good mood. Everything's calm and peaceful. And I remember an old event that when I used to study, there was a boy. He was a little bit naughty. He said, look what I'll do now. I'll show you a trick, a game I'm going to play. And he selected the same sin of quarreling and debating. And there were people sitting down, 5, 6, 7 boys at school. Good boys they were. And he said to them, you know, tell me, what do you think about this person? There was a famous personality at that time. I can't remember his name now. It was a celebrity or a famous person. He said, what do you think about this person? Tell me, you know that man, this celebrity, do you think he's good when he's smiling or when he's silent or when he's upset or when crying? Just a minor point he brought up, some sort of theory he brought up. And is this something to talk about really? Waste of time. They started debating, quarreling, arguing, different opinions, and they started to fight with each other. It got to that point because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us something to refrain from. This is not a topic worth even discussing. And this is how a quarrel breaks out. It's a small point which people start to discuss. Did you do this? No, I didn't do this. No, you said this. I said this. I didn't say this. You said this. This happened. Or, for example, do you like black? No, I don't like black. Why do you like black? Black is no good. This isn't a good color. This is a better color. And they start debating and arguing. In other words, when people enter into useless debate on a topic, then it ends up in a quarrel. And this has become a habit within people. They don't see who are we speaking to, what are we speaking about. Even children, they'll start debating with children and they will go against each other. And this debate will increase and the split will increase, and shaitan makes people go against each other. So my brothers, this is a big sin. Big sin. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that this is not a good action. The talib-e-haq doesn't have time to do these actions, to go into debate and quarrels and useless discussions. And there are many forms of debate today and quarrels. There's a general discussion, let's say discussion, in which all points come. Current affairs, general knowledge, for the sake of it. Just like a political discussion. Are you going to go give a vote to this party? Is this minister good? Is this MP good? Is this party good? Is People's Party good? Is Muslim League good? Some people say Conservative's good. Some people say Labour's good. Labour's good. They're good. And Conservative's good. Why are you spoiling their image? And they start debating, quarrelling, arguing. Pistol will come out. Murder. Fighting. On what point? Oh, he liked this political party and he liked this leader and he disrespected my leader, even though I don't even know the leader. I haven't even seen the leader. And we waste precious time. Friendships end. Relationships end due to the debates and the discussions on general points that have nothing to do with our life thereafter. In the house, family, husband, wife. Why did you say this? Why did you say that? Why have you got this opinion? Why have you got that opinion? I know better than you know. You're wrong. And they start debating, discussing. And what's hidden within this, all of this? Takabbur, pride. When the discussion starts on a general point which has no benefit to us long term, remember this point number one, the opposing party will not listen who you're trying to convince, and you are not going to agree also because you're not discussing on point two, come to agreement on. So that person will stay staunch on his point and you will stay staunch in your opinion because the discussing parties are trying to prove each other, I am right, you're wrong, or you're wrong and I'm right, etc. And this is called a debate, unnecessary waste of time, and there's no good conclusion. There's no good conclusion. And more worse than this, more dangerous than this, as I mentioned, the dangerous debate is the religious debate. In the previous generations, the religious debate, one are those, the scholars who carry out, implement a religious debate. But as far as I've read and heard from our pious elders and the buzurgs, they have banned, you can say, or ordered, instructed debates and discussion to cease in this day and age. Because our scholars in the previous centuries, they were on the haq, they were on the right path, they knew their knowledge, they used to debate or discuss due to trying to reform things, and that person would come with the dalil, with the proof, and the other scholar would understand, absorb and accept, and they'd move on. They had lilayat, they had the common focus and objective of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. They would debate on a certain point for the sake of Allah and agree on a certain point and move on. But today we're not in that scenario environment. Today we debate to demote the other person, to degrade the other person, that I've got knowledge, you haven't got knowledge, and I'm better than you, and you need to accept what I'm saying. So this is impurity. This is impurity. We need to stop the debates. And if scholars have said that we are stopping debates, then the common man, why can he continue to debate? And normally a religious debate, why does it stop? The religious debate is for this reason, people don't have the ilm. They don't have the knowledge, they don't have the necessary qualifications, insight, foresight, vision, and they start debating. They don't have ilm, they don't have dalil, the correct proofs with the principles, but he's giving his intellectual proof. And the other person intellectually answers to try to convince the first party. So both parties, A and B, they start to clash and oppose each other. And nafs comes in, and pride comes in. And this is totally not acceptable, that don't enter into a religious debate to convince another party. No, this is not good. This is not correct. In this day and age, we saw some days ago, there were two brothers, they were quarreling in high voices, high volume in the masjid. Don't know what they were talking about. Somebody trimmed his beard or kept his beard. He was telling him, and I gave a hint. I said, no, this is not right. Why are you falling into this trap? No. Don't waste your time. So what's in this? What's the ill effect? One point, a person may say, I'm giving tabligh, I'm explaining to this person. There's no need to explain to another person anything. This is dispute, quarrel, and debate. And this is not the style to explain to someone. Just mind your own business. Mind your own business. If you want to explain to each other and help each other, the person who wants to understand, he will understand. If he comes to you and says, can you tell me, for example, how is dhikr? How do I do dhikr? I have a desire, I want to do dhikr. So he has the talab, he has the desire, the request. Then you reply to that person, you give the safat, the qualities, the fadail. That's a different matter. If someone says, no, this isn't right, you say, no, how can you say this ain't right? I'm telling you I'm right, you are wrong. Then is this tabligh? You have dalil and he has dalil, and this is something we need to refrain from clearly. So close the door on religious debate and quarrels and arguments. Yeah, even if you know you're right, don't become arrogant and try to force your point through. If the person's doing wrong, fair enough. If he wants to know, tabligh is necessary for that person who has a demand, a desire, a request, that please, I want to improve. Or he has some regret or remorse, or he has a quality he wants to absorb and hear. But where you try to force something, why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing this? You should do this, she should do this. This is necessary, this is not lawful. When you start rebuking, then you'll get a response. A strong, not a positive, but a strong negative response. Who are you to tell me? Where's this written? You tell me, give me the dalil, give me the proof. This is not written in the Quran, this is not proven, the whole world's doing this, why are you telling me not to do this? And then dhahir, the other person also is human being, and he will start to clash, and then it will become start as a religious discussion, and it will end up as an intellectual debate, an argument. So more dangerous than that is another factor, which is that to debate or to argue with a batil firqa, with a false sect, with a person who has a false sort of understanding, to fall into argument. If there's a batil sect, a sect on falsehood, and you start to debate with that person or those people, no, you're wrong, your belief's not right, I say, is it? Remember one point, the common man amongst the Muslimin cannot debate and argue with those who are on the false sect, because they are ready, they have their dalils, they have their false dalils, even their children, they're trained up, and ourselves, us common people, we are not the same. There are very few people from the circle of Muslimin, mashallah, they have knowledge, but the normal person, he's not trained. But the people on the batil, the falsehood, on the wrong path, they are trained, they have the qualities, they have the knowledge, they have learned their knowledge, and they will then debate with you nicely. They will say, yeah, let's debate, and they will overcome you in the debate. They have such dalil, they will bring verses, selected verses or some hadith, because they've trained their minds and their children, because they have a mission. So here the pious predecessors have said, and our pious elders today have said, totally do not entertain a debate, a quarrel, discussion with those on the batil. Why? Because you have no dalil, and they are trained, they are qualified, and there's a danger, and I've seen this myself, that a person who is a mu'min, who is practicing while he debates with those people, then he'll become like them, or he'll be overcome by them, and they will win in the argument, they will prove to him. So he went to debate with them to prove his point, and then he becomes overcome with confusion, and his iman becomes weakened, and doubts come into his iman, shak, doubts and confusions, and this is dangerous. When confusion comes into the mind of a person, doubt, yes, so then shaitan attacks and finishes off the competition, finishes off the clash. And so that's why our pious elders and scholars said that to debate, to discuss and dispute things with others is a loss indeed. It is a loss. So when a person enters into bahs, into disputes or quarrels, then he enters into various sins. He starts with a good sense, maybe a good thought, then he starts to get angry, then backbiting, and then swearing, looking down at others, lying, and sometimes, astaghfirullah, the wrong hadith are presented. You'll say, this is a hadith. No, this is not a hadith, and oh, this is a hadith I've heard, the Prophet ﷺ said this. No dalil, a person makes it up from his own tongue, he starts to say such statements to back up his argument that he starts to say false things. Straight away, remember, the pious elders have stated that the talib-e-haq doesn't have the time to dispute and quarrel and with others, but these are the tests that come in life, that for the talib-e-haq, the seeker of truth, this is a test for him, because when we start to embark on the path, we are the salik, we want to try to influence others and explain to others good things. I'll give him dalil and prove that. Let me talk to this person now. So this is dangerous. We should refrain from this. The more tawfiq Allah gives to somebody to practice and be corrected and practice, he should go far from debates and quarrels and arguments and discussions on wrong points and clashing with people. No. My Hazrat Rahmatullahi Nur al-Marqada, I stayed in his company, and my Hazrat Garami Qadr, my Sheikh, my teacher, he had a great blessed habit. Everyone knew he was a great scholar. He was a muhaddith. He was a mufassir of Qur'an. He had knowledge of Qur'an and hadith. He had great knowledge, and great ulama would come and become students of his, and muftiyan. They knew his status, my Sheikh, Hazrat Sheikh Nur al-Marqada. But I will say with clarity, the amount of years I spent with my Sheikh until today, I never saw Hazrat Sheikh Nur al-Marqada saying bad about anybody, degrading anybody. Shia came, other sects coming, someone's praying salah here. Even if someone said, Hazrat, look at this person, he's not on the right path. For example, Shia is praying in a different way, or other sects. Hazrat said, what is he saying to you? Is he affecting you? He's praying his salah. You mind your own business. That's it. Hazrat would say that. Leave people to their own devices. And somebody, if they came and asked a masla, a question, a query to Hazrat, the Hazrat, that this masla, can you explain this point to me? Hazrat wouldn't respond. Hazrat would say, I'm not an alim, I don't know. I don't know, ask an alim, a scholar. Subhanallah, simplicity, humbleness, humility. Never did I see opposition from Hazrat. In the beginning days, for testing, you could say, or to ask a query, I presented a query to Hazrat Sahib, and Hazrat Sahib smiled and understood where I was coming from, and Hazrat gave me an answer. Subhanallah, what hikmah Hazrat Sahib had. Great answer. What sect was it that was asking a question? But if I say it, then you'll understand, and they'll say, oh, he's speaking against me. So I won't mention the group. But with a beautiful way, Hazrat replied and gave such a complete answer, because I was new them days on the path, and there were quite a few things that were in my mind and some things I needed to clarify. A person who's new, who's embarked on the path of Salik, and he thinks he's intellectual. I'd read kitabs and books. I thought I'd marifa. I'd read Rumi's books and Ghazali and other kitabs and deep kitabs and books written by scholars and such great kitabs. And a person then thinks he's knowledgeable and he's attained the heights, isn't it? So such a beautiful and complete and great answer in two words Hazrat gave to me, and he started to smile. He understood that he's testing me, this man. He's testing me, this student. And can we ask and go into a debate or quarrel? No. Hazrat wouldn't enter. Hazrat say, I don't know. So this is the truth. This is the way. The biggest point here is that when a person starts to debate, the sins are unraveled, and there's a bigger loss than that, is that person, his time, we need to consider our time as valuable. If a person does dhikr for that amount of time that he was going to debate and quarrel with others, imagine the rewards attained. The amount of time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you want to argue with somebody, you could do dhikr that time. Hazrat Rabi Basir, alhamdulillah, somebody came and said to the shaitan, people are calling you shaitan and zindiq and this and that. You never reply to that person, and you are waliya of Allah. She said, the amount I was going to respond to that person, I will do dhikr of Allah. I will remember Allah. I don't need to reply to that person. What will I get from answering to that person and swearing to that person? So this should be our style and manner and our approach. So disputes and quarrels and debates and arguments and clashes and fighting and takabbur, and nobody wins over anyone else. Wherever you see a quarrel, a debate, what's the cure? Wherever you see that there's a quarrel or an argument in home, in the family, outside, religious, political, friends, associates, colleagues, a small point comes out. Is this person good? That person good? What's your thought? What's your opinion? Stop there straight away. First cure is this. Don't enter into the debate, discussion. Rather, slip out of that environment. Depart from that environment. Don't even listen to the discussion. Oh, I'll give a little bit of an answer. Where you give a little bit of answer, you'll get trapped You'll get trapped. Then he'll give dalil, and then you'll have to give dalil. So the first solution the pious elders have given is straight away, detach yourself from that quarrel, from that debate. Otherwise you won't be able to control matters, and they will escalate out of control. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this big fitna. The biggest waster of time nowadays is chit chat, gossip for no reason. And Ramadan's coming, and this will occur in Ramadan. People will be sat in itikaf. They'll start, we must start, you said this, you didn't do this, you should have done this, what did you think, he said that, what did he say? And in itikaf, the arguments are happening, and they're so-called solving the problems. No, stay silent. Either when you see a debate, a quarrel, a dispute, then depart from that environment or that scenario. And if you can't, then stay silent. Say, let that person say what he wants or what she wants. If that person thinks he's right or she's right, even if I know they are wrong, whatever, your heart says, no, he thinks he's right, she thinks she's right, or he thinks he's right, and I know the answer, and I can convince. Totally don't admit, don't say anything. Stay silent. Let that person continue to push forward his or her opinion in the wrong way, and observe silence at that time. So first thing, if you can, is leave that gathering. If you can't leave that gathering, then observe silence. It's better. It's better. And third cure is that rather than enter into debate and quarrel and dispute, and rather than doing that, there's a more beneficial thing, which is to send the Salat al-Nabi on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite Durood Sharif. What should you do? Recite Durood Sharif. Durood. And then the whole matter will become cool after Durood is recited. So do these three things rather than entering into debate. Alhamdulillah, run away from that clash or debate or argument. If you can't, then stay silent and start to recite Durood Sharif. So may Allah Ta'ala save us from this fitna. It's a very big fitna, which is the source of destruction amongst our society today. All sins coming, backbiting, hasad, envy, gossip mongering, malice, and slander, the biggest sins that are within people's lives. And the pious elder said that when you start to debate with someone or dispute with someone, religious debate or worldly debate, then there's danger of iman as well at that time. That person doesn't know, and he's left him. Such kalamat and statements people utter today, the debates we have in the world, astaghfirullah, people swear, they conclude on swearing, ridiculing, and people are debating on the blessed lives of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Astaghfirullah, the people have made it a game. A pastor, what do you think? I think this, my opinion is this, and they're saying bad to the Nabi, astaghfirullah, to the pious elders. People criticize, oh, he didn't know this, he should have done this, he didn't know, this is according to this day and age. No. And then the person loses iman. Very dangerous and sensitive topic. Don't consider it as a minor, and always consider that you, me, we are all jahil, we have no knowledge, we are ignorant, we are illiterate. Despite being an alim, don't consider yourself an alim. Always save yourself. If somebody asks you a question which is entering into a clash and argument, no need to argue, no need to give the best answer to give. For the ulama who are talib-e-haq, they can give a mudallil answer, give a concise and good complete answer which is beneficial. If you see the man wants to enter into debate, then leave that discussion. Even if you know you better, oh, I'll be disrespected, I'm an alim, and they'll say, oh, you couldn't give the answer, and you'll be disqualified, or you won't have that image. Don't say, I am the talib haq, I am an alim, I'm a scholar, but despite that, I am a talib of haq, I am a seeker of truth, I don't want to enter into debate. Whenever the opportunity comes to implement your ilm, there are thousands of ways. Allah has given you a member, speak on the member. Yes, Allah has given you a gathering, maybe regularly explain to people there. But don't run into a random discussion and debate. Wherever you see a debate, leave it. It's even been stated to the ulama. Our scholars have said that even if you're sitting on the minbar and you see that there's a majlis and somebody starts asking questions and debating, leave that minbar and depart. Say, I cannot give you the answer to these questions. What happens then? If you start to answer on the minbar and people, then they start to stand and oppose you, and then the debate starts. Best tariqah, where you see a bit of friction is developing, a bit of a heat, friction. For example, I'm sitting and you stand and ask a question, I will go silent. I'll say, fine, that's okay, let's start dhikr. So in any matter, to give the answer, even from the mimbar, try not to give it. Totally don't, because then the debate will start, dispute will start, quarrel will start, argument will start, and then shaitan will come into the discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.